Okay, without question, it has been a very tough week for 49er fans as their season ends with that disappointing loss to the Seahawks in the NFC Championship game. And for three straight seasons, Jim Harbaugh's San Francisco 49ers, they have finished so close. You think back, NFC Championship game, the 2011 season, last year, the Super Bowl defeat to the Baltimore Ravens, and then last Sunday, the tough loss against their arch rival, Seattle, on Sunday. So it's been a tough pill to swallow. But right now, joining us at Yahoo Sports Radio in the Quicken Loans studios is Daniel Brown. He is a staff writer for the San Jose Mercury News and the Bay Area News Group. We're going to recap the 49ers season, and we're also going to take time to review his new book that has just been released. And I know it's going to be cathartic for all of our 49er fans tuning in tonight. It is titled 100 Things 49er Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. So while this interview is going along and progressing, Google that online and check out the book. Daniel, it is so good to have you with us at Yahoo Sports Radio the very first time tonight.
Yeah, thanks a lot. It's an honor to be on the show.
Well, a quest for another Super Bowl will have to wait at least one more year after the 49ers, that tough loss to Seattle last Sunday. It was, though, however, as you look at it, at the body of work, it was a special season, a tough finish. What were your takeaways from last Sunday's game?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, the fan base is so spoiled by the dynasty of the 80s and the early 90s. You know, it's kind of back to that with a Super Bowl or bust mentality. So, you know, for as far as I got this year and for as much as excitement as that NFC Championship game provided, there's a lot of disappointment around here and even questions about, you know, is Kaepernick the right quarterback? Has the window of opportunity for this roster starting to close? You know, this is a franchise that hadn't lost a Super Bowl, so this is very frustrating, and there's a lot of questions being asked around town.
You know, Daniel, my heart really goes out to Kaepernick because it's going to be a very tough offseason for him. It'll certainly be a great motivator, but, you know, just those late, those costly turnovers, it was very, very difficult. I mean, the 49ers committed three turnovers in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and they were all him, right?
Yeah, I didn't want to bring that up, but yes.
Yeah, and, you know, he'd been such a, natural, but he's such a sensation when he took over the starting job midway through last season with his legs, with his arm, you know, and the promise that he has athletically. But the decision-making now, that's the biggie. And that's what Joe Montana talked about in the days leading up to the game is Kaepernick seeing the whole field or is he seeing one guy and then taking off and running? And when he takes it off and runs, he does it so well and so electrically that there's kind of no complaints. But on that last play, that last interception with the game on the line and the clock countdown, he admitted that he looked to his right, he saw Crabtree lined up in one-on-one coverage, and he knew then that he was going to throw to that guy. Now, that guy was covered by Richard Sherman, so the question is, was Vernon Davis open? Was Anquan Boldin open? Was there a better option than Kaepernick making up his mind even before the snap was called? So that's something they're going to have to look at, because game on the line, two seasons in a row, you know, championship hope on the line. He made a questionable decision.
Daniel Brown, staff writer, sports writer with the San Jose Mercury News and Bay Area News Group, joining us this evening at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We want you to connect with us at Twitter at E Radio Sports. Daniel, quickly tell all the listeners where they can check out some of your work online.
Yeah, mercurynews.com is the easy enough link in this. You can follow it to our 49er page, and there's been all kinds of stuff, not just about the game, but in the Richard Sherman fallout following the game. So there's plenty of material at 49ers.com or at mercurynews.com.
Okay, so you brought it up. You want to weigh in on that, on Sherman?
You know, I've been a Sherman fan because I find him so entertaining and engaging, and most of the Niners are so tight-lipped. You know, from Harbaugh on down, they try to keep their quotes as bland as possible. So it sounds Sherman refreshing. I have to admit, he kind of lost me on Sunday night. I thought it was a little bit mean-spirited, and I thought it took away from the team accomplishment, which is he has apologized since and said essentially the same thing. It was great theater. It was entertaining. But I think, you know, to put it in maybe too simplistic terms, you wouldn't want your kid doing that. You wouldn't want your kid acting that way after a big victory. And I thought, you know, just from a sportsmanship perspective, if
Thank
there
you.
Is such a thing in the NFL anymore, mm-hmm. I thought it was over the line.
Well, there was so much hype and buildup coming into this game and this matchup, and that's kind of where I want you to provide for the listeners a bit of a history lesson, because the rivalry between the Seahawks and the 49ers, you know, what led to that back in the day? Because it goes back to the 70s.
Right. I mean, this particular Sherman Crabtree incident apparently goes back to an off-season charity event, of all things, where the story goes, according to Sherman's brother and some other witnesses, that Sherman went up to Crabtree to introduce himself, to say hello, and Crabtree literally swatted his hand away, said, get out of here. And this charity event almost became a fight. And Sherman has held that against him ever since. And then fueling the fire in the days leading up to the game, someone asked Crabtree, is Richard Sherman the best cornerback in the NFL? And Crabtree said, no, you know, I don't know. I don't think about it in those terms. I think about it as terms of Seahawks versus Niners. So not really the most inflammatory thing, but it was enough for Richard Sherman to really take it as a slight and take it personally and kind of vow to get his revenge in the NFC title game. And of course, beyond those two, these two franchises really don't like each other. It's become, we talk about rivalries all the time, and it's mm-hmm. usually geographically based or tradition based. Right now it's roster based because these coaches, these players, it's a genuine dislike.
Daniel Brown, sports writer with the San Jose Mercury News, joining us this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. Here in just a moment, we are going to highlight his new book that's out, 100 Things 49er Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. So you talk about some of the players, the rivalries there. What about the head coaches, Pete Carroll, Jim Harbaugh? How would you characterize that? I mean, was this truly a media creation, or does it go back to those playing days in college?
Yeah, no, it goes back. It goes back to when they were both coaches in college, Harbaugh at Stanford and Pete Carroll at USC. There's a famous meeting after the Stanford upset USC and USC and ran up the score a little bit, kind of rubbed it in. And after the game, they met at midfield, and Carroll asked Harbaugh, what's your deal? And Harbaugh said, what's your deal? And that maybe has been a little bit blown out of proportion because, you know, if you look at it, that's not really the craziest conversation of all time, but it's kind of an amusing thing. And the guys, what's interesting, when you talk to players from both sides, they say Carroll and Harbaugh, they have a lot of similarities. They're meticulous, they're demanding, they're perfectionists, but they go about it in different ways. Harbaugh is really hard-edged, type A, do it my way, and Carroll is the more relaxed, be yourself, your freedom to show some personality, as Richard Sherman surely demonstrated. They're really different in terms of their, you know, the leash they give their players. So that contrast in styles was kind of interesting all week.
Daniel, what is your perception of Pete Carroll and what he has been able to accomplish there with the Seattle organization? I mean, he really has done an excellent job in 4 years.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. I think he's done a terrific job. You know, 49er fans can't stand him. They watch the antics from the sideline and the kind of the rah-rah persona he's got going, kind of the college. He's kind of the college look, but you know, defensively, that team is really starting to rank among the all-time great defensive teams. I mean, the job they did on Drew Brees in the divisional round, the job they did on a dangerous Niners team in the NFC Championship game, I mean, they are stifling from the secondary on down. And if they can do it against Peyton Manning, they're going to earn a spot really in the you know, the legend category in terms of the great defenses of the NFL.
Daniel, we are flat out of time. Quickly tell all of our listeners just a quick hit on your book and where they can go to get it.
Sure. The book is called 100 Things 49er Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. It's available on Amazon.com. And it counts down the greatest players, the greatest games, the greatest moments in 49ers history.
Absolutely. Daniel, it's been a true pleasure having you on with us this evening. Happy New Year. We promise we will be in touch again real soon. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Melissa.
Much more straight ahead this weekend at YSR.